We'll get started for everyone here. Whoever shows up, shows up. What an honor and a privilege it is to be in front of you once again to open up the Word of Life and share with you some of the things that the Lord has shared with me. So we're just going to open in a word of prayer, and then we'll get started. She's doing very well at home. Just being at home has been a real boost to her psyche, being around her kids and her husband. So it's going well. They have to learn a new routine that they're going to have to get used to, and it's going to require some patience on everybody's side to realize we got to be patient with those that are going through such a big routine change and life change. So it's all good. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for another day of your grace, your peace, and your mercy. We thank you for this country that we live in, Lord, that we can gather freely without worrying about someone coming through the doors. We pray for our country. We pray for our leaders, our president, our vice president. We pray for all those in authority, Lord, that they might heed wise, godly counsel, and they might come to saving knowledge, those that don't know Christ as Savior. So we pray for them, Lord, that we might continue to lead a quiet and peaceable life. I just pray for this study, Lord, that you would hide me behind the cross of our wonderful Savior. Let the Holy Spirit be the real teacher. And I'm just so grateful for every opportunity you give every one of us to share with others the wonderful truths that you've revealed to us through our study of your word. So we'll just commit the rest of the time into your hands. Watch over those that are continuing to come. And just prepare everyone's heart, Lord. They're here to not see or hear a particular preacher, but to hear the very word of God taught, rightly divided. So we're just thankful, Father, for all these things, and we just ask humbly in the full authority of our Lord Jesus Christ that you would use this message to glorify and encourage all the saints. Amen.
Amen.
So we're on the last piece of the armor. The last couple weeks ago, we dealt with, now you understand what it means to put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and how he is the armor that's mentioned in Ephesians. So we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 6. Now we're going to be looking at verse 18, because this is the last piece of armor that's mentioned that's really very vital. Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So prayer is that last weapon that's mentioned, and it is a weapon both offense and defense. It's one of the first things that we should do, right, is pray.
Amen. Amen.
And prayer is simply exercising the authority and the privilege you've been given to go before the throne of his grace. That's really what prayer is. It's to take advantage of that position that God has put us in, where we can at any time go before the throne of his grace and offer our petitions, our cares, our concerns, our supplications. That's really what prayer is. It's not a bunch of fancy words. It's not it's conversation with our Heavenly Father, right? That's really what prayer is. But when we do pray, right, Matthew 6:5, we don't want to be like the hypocrites do, who love to pray publicly in the street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. So we don't want to be hypocrites, right, when we're praying. We don't want to be seen doing one thing, maybe at family gatherings, you know, offer to say the grace for the family, and go into this big, long thing, right? When most of your family members, they know who you are when you're not here at church. We don't want to be hypocrites, right? Those people are hypocrites when they stand on street corners and pray these big, long prayers. We don't want to be hypocrites. Matthew 6:7, the next verse. But when you do pray, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. We're living in a society that seems to think that just because people keep saying the same thing over and over and over again, that's what's going to make them be heard, right? People think that of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And they just repeat the same things over and over and over and over and over, right? Now, this is when he was talking to the nation of Israel during his earthly ministry, right? You have a prayer books? You ever see a prayer book, right? Say this prayer every day, and such will happen, right? That's a vain, repetitious prayer. That's not really coming from their heart. They're just reading it, right? Reading something somebody else wrote. So instead of it becoming an honest conversation, it becomes a written prayer instead of a prayer that just comes from your heart, right? Luke chapter 20, verses 45 to 47. And in the hearing of all the people, he said to his disciples, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes, and they love greetings in the marketplaces, and they like the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses, and for a pretense or for a show, they make these long prayers. Now they will receive the greater condemnation." This is those people that love to pray in public, right? Pray in the streets. This is what the scribes like to do, right? Back in the Lord Jesus Christ day. He said, "I don't want you to be like the scribes," right? They like to have all the fancy clothing. They like to be heard. They like to be noticed, right? They're doing things not because of they have an attitude of gratitude. They're doing things because they want to have those nice places at the feasts, right? They want to be invited to all the elite gatherings. James chapter 2, verses 2 and 3 kind of talks about these people. "For if a man comes into your assembly with a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and there also comes in a poor man in dirty clothes, and you pay special attention to the one who is wearing the fine clothes and say, 'Hey, come and sit here in the good place,' and you say to the poor man, 'You know what? You go stand over there. You know, you really don't fit what we're doing here. So why don't you go sit over there? Or you know what? Why don't you sit down right by my footstool where I'm putting my feet up? You can sit there near my stinky feet." Jude talks about these same people. He says these are really murmurers and complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaks great swelling words, because they have men's persons in admiration because of what it's going to advantage them by pleasing these people, right? Is anything different today than it was back in the days of when the Lord Jesus Christ walked the earth and he was dealing with the nation of Israel right there? No, there is no difference, right? It's more, right? People are constantly looking for, hey, what advantage is in it for me to please these people, right? That's nothing new. Now let's go to Luke 14, 7. 7 through 14 we're going to look at. I don't have the rest of it on here because I couldn't find it. "But he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they would choose out the chief rooms, saying unto them..." Somebody want to read the rest of it? 8 through 14? First one there reads... Luke 14. I need you to read 8 through 14. This is for you at home.
"Afterwards, that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12..."
You look in verse 14, chapter 14, Luke chapter 14, verse 8.
Chapter 8.
Fail.
"When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest the more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, 'Give this man place,' and thou begin with shame to take the lower room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bad thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. Up to 14?
Yes.
And whoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and him that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Then said he also to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just.
So Luke 20, right, he says, beware of the scribes, beware of these people that like to go into the places of honor. They want to sit in that front seat. He says they're going to receive the greater condemnation. And we just read in Luke chapter 7, or Luke chapter 14, this is why, right? Because when the master comes and shows up, he's going to say in front of everyone to all these people that are looking after their own admiration, their own selves, right? And they're going to say, hey, in front of everybody, right? Everybody's already seated. The master comes in, the guy that invited everyone, he comes in and he looks at all these people that wanted all these good seats, and he's going to, in front of everyone, say, you know what? You guys get up and you go sit in the back. And you guys in the back there, come sit in these honored seats, right? That's why we're supposed to think of others above ourselves. There's going to be no difference when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ if we're the ones that want to sit all in the front seats, if we're the ones that have men's persons in admiration, right? There's going to be a judgment seat not only for us, but for the nation of Israel also. That's what he's talking about here. And we can say the same thing today, right? God says we're not supposed to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. Above all the believers, we that understand how to read and grow in God's word, we should be the most humble out of everybody, right? Because we understand that just the fact that we're saved is a miracle. Amen. So we ought to not look at everything and how it's going to benefit me, right? We need to be looking at things in life and how it's going to benefit others above ourselves, right? But we don't want to stand and have the master come when it's our turn and shake his head and say, you know what? Shouldn't do that. Matthew 23:28. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. See, we're using all these verses. This is when he's talking to the nation of Israel and their leaders. But there is no difference today, even in the body of Christ. There are many people who outwardly appear righteous, right? But really, he sees the heart. He knows what's in your heart. He knows why you're doing things. He knows if we're doing things selfishly out of self-ambition and self-love. And he knows when we're doing things out of a heart of yearning to help others and to serve our Savior and to honor and glorify him. He knows those things. So we don't want to be full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. There's enough hypocrisy out there. And it shouldn't be coming from believers. Not believers that know the things that we know. All right? Then we got the Luke 18, right? The parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. So we got two men, two prayers, two attitudes, and two verdicts. Now we've all heard this, right? We've all read this this parable. Luke 18. Also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others, right? Those are the people that we were talking about. Those people that are thinking about themselves and want to look good in front of other people but are not concerned about how God sees them, right? They're just looking out for the people, how other people see them. So two men went up to the temple, verse 10, to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, right? He's standing afar off. Remember the chief priests, the scribes? They liked the choice places of worship, right? There were areas that were for prayer and worship. So the scribes and the Pharisees and all these self-righteous people, they like to go to that spot where everyone's watching them, right? Because that's like a, ooh, he's got the pass to get into this special area. This tax collector, he don't want to go nowhere near that place because he knows I'm not even worthy to be over near that spot, over near that area. So he's standing afar off. He would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, right? You can imagine the Pharisees and doing the big, oh, you know, and they're looking up and holding their hands, and they got the nice clothes on and all the phylacteries tied on their arms. The tax collector, he won't even raise his eyes to heaven. He won't even look up. He just doesn't even look. He says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Right? That's his prayer. God, be merciful to me, because I'm a sinner. What's the other guy? I, right? I do all these things. I'm not like this guy. I. So who do you think is going to be justified? The Lord Jesus Christ said, I tell you that this man, this tax collector, so I tell you that this man, this tax collector, he went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Right? It's that same thing we just read in the other two parables, right? The guys that want to sit in the front, they're going to be humiliated in front of everyone, right? They're going to be shown to be hypocrites. You go sit in the back. And all you people that were humble, you come and sit up front. You come and sit up here. Right? So I like that. God, I thank you that I'm not like that other guy. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Right? That should be our attitude. Show us mercy, Lord. We're thankful. We don't need to be up in front of everyone making all these long prayers. Right? And we ought not treat the Lord Jesus Christ like a drive-through Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. Prayer is what? Recognizing and appreciating and taking advantage of the access that God has given you to the throne of his grace. In times past, when the nation of Israel, there were only a select amount of people that were granted access to that Holy of Holies, right? 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Right? The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Who are the righteous today? Anyone that has placed their faith, hope, trust, confidence in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ are given the very righteousness of Christ, right? So God's eyes and ears are attentive to their prayers, to the prayers of righteous people, saved people. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Romans 8:26-27, likewise, the Spirit also helps us, right, in our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, right? How do we approach the true and living God? But the Spirit, right? God's Holy Spirit that comes and indwells us the moment that we get saved. He makes intercession for us, right? With groanings that cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts, which is God, right? Knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You ever have moments in your life where you don't know what to pray for and all you can do is go, right? The Holy Spirit takes that groaning and translates it perfectly because God knows what we need. Sometimes, whether it's physical pain that you're in or emotional sorrow, And that's all you can do is groan. That's okay, because God's Holy Spirit takes that and translates that perfectly, right? And that's an awesome truth to understand. That's not a long prayer, is it? Sometimes you're just broken, you know? You feel like you're just down and out, and that's all you can do is groan and moan. And then you got other people, what are you going to tell you? Don't be a groaner and a moaner. Hey, man, I don't know what else to say to my Savior, but he knows, right? So don't be one of those people that say don't groan and moan. Go ahead, bro.
You know, sometimes you can't say anything or groan. Sometimes it's just a tear.
Mm-hmm.
And the Spirit knows what that tear is all about.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. And the Lord knows too.
It's just amazing.
It is. Yes, that's why we're thankful, right? We should be thankful in all circumstances for that Spirit, because He knows how to take that tear, to take that groan, take that moan, take it perfectly to the Savior. So we need to pray always in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit always, right? That's what Ephesians 6:18 says. Pray in the Spirit always. What's that mean? Pray in the Spirit. That means knowing these things, understanding these things, right? Letting the Spirit lead your prayer. Not some book. Not something somebody else wrote. Not some vain repeating of something. Although there's nothing wrong with sometimes repeating the Word of God, because maybe that's all you got to grab a hold of. You know, my grace is sufficient for you. I don't know how many times I said that first when I was going through some tough times with my back and my injuries. That's okay. Ephesians 3:12, right? Why should we pray in the Spirit always? Because we have boldness. We can be bold knowing that we have access with confidence by the faithfulness of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's faithful. He knows what we need. He knows what we're going through. We have access to Him at all times. We don't have to wait in line. We don't have to take a ticket. We don't have to clean ourselves up. We can come broken and dirty and bloody and bleeding and crying. We can come to Him. Because that Spirit that's in us gives us access to that area that in other ages, that area was roped off to only certain people. But we have that, we have the Lord Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit literally dwelling within us. That gives us access. And with confidence, right? We don't have to worry and be shaken like, oh, I can't pray. No, we have access at any moment, at any time. You can come before Him. And you should have confidence in that. Why? Because it's not because you're faithful. It's just by the faith of Him. It's because of Christ's faithfulness. He's the one that delivers us this access. So that's what prayer is taking advantage of that access that He's given us. 1 Corinthians 14:15. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, but I will pray with understanding also. Right? I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. So when we do pray, there needs to be some understanding that we have, right?
Amen.
Because there are certain prayers that we can read about when the Lord Jesus Christ was dealing with the nation of Israel. When we really look at them, that's not for today, folks. But people are being told, you pray these prayers and this is going to be the outcome because it is the Word of God, right? That doesn't help anyone. That just wrecks people's faith. It shipwrecks them. Because why? Because I prayed this. My whole family prayed this and it didn't work. It's an example that we like to use, right? Matthew 6:9-13. A wonderful example that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to the nation of Israel and His believers, and pray after this manner, right? This is what I want you thinking about when they were to take advantage of their access that they had, right? After this manner, pray you therefore, right? Not pray this prayer. People have taken this and turned it into a written prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name, right? That's all true. Your kingdom come, your earthly kingdom, right? Your kingdom come, that's the kingdom the nation of Israel is looking for. Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven, right? That has to do with, remember that authority God gave Peter and the disciples? Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, right? So they're praying for, I want things to be done on this earth just like they are in heaven. Now give us this day our daily bread. We know during the tribulation period, they're going to go through some rough times. And this prayer, this mindset of asking the Lord for their daily bread is going to be crucial. But I got a question. Just because this manner of prayer, praying for the daily bread, you think that doesn't work today? Yes, it does, because don't ever count out God's mercy, right? Because there are our brothers and sisters to this day, today, that are praying for their daily bread or their daily baby formula. So don't think that just because this is a prayer from things, you don't just tell people, oh, don't pray for daily bread. Oh, no. You can pray for your daily bread, and I'm going to pray with you that the Lord will provide for you. And if maybe we're in a position, maybe we can help our brothers and sisters. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil, or the evil one that's going to be hunting them at that time, right? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, amen. Now, mankind has taken this wonderful truth that he was trying to instill in his disciples, and they've turned it into a written prayer that just gets repeated and repeated and repeated, and they think for their much speech, they're going to be heard. He warned them about that. Don't do that. Don't do that. We ought not do that either. Matthew 21:22, right? Because we're looking at these things with the understanding that there was a change in the program, right? A change between God dealing with the nation of Israel, and now he's dealing with the body of Christ. So our prayers should change also, right? Because Matthew 21:22, and in all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. That ain't going on today. How dangerous would that prayer be today with how many immature believers that we have? This would be a disaster, right? A disaster. Praying for whatever you want in prayer, believing, if you believe it, you're going to receive it. That would be so dangerous today. So dangerous. Yeah. Mark 11:22-24. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, that whoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed, and thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, and he shall have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe that you shall receive, and you will have them. Whew. You know why this is going to be a vital prayer that he was trying to teach those in the tribulation period? Because they're going to need escape routes. And they're going to say, move. And God's going to move whatever's in their way to help them escape. That's what this prayer is all about. Luke 11:9-10. So I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. I bet you every single person in this room has asked for something. Yeah. Does that mean because you didn't get it that God's not faithful? No. Maybe he has a plan and a purpose, right? Because God does answer prayers with either a yes or no or a wait. And that's an answer. That is an answer. See, sometimes we can't always see the big picture of what God's doing in our lives, right? He might be doing something for the benefit of somebody else that's in that situation. He might allow you and go through with you that hardship, right? He himself will help you through that hardship. So sometimes we don't know why things happen, right? But we need to be like Job. Even though he slay me, yet will I trust him. No matter what my circumstances is, I'm going to continue to trust him. Can I see what it is? I don't have no idea, but I know he's not punishing me, and I know that he loves me, and I know he cares about me, and I know he's trying to use this to either help me with something or to help somebody else through what I'm going through. John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. That's not happening. There's some things where I pray, I don't want this to happen to me, Lord. But yet it happened anyway. But I need to pray with that understanding, right? That today God's not punishing you. He's not punishing the believer. He's not punishing nations, right? People are just reaping what they've sown. So sometimes maybe we've planted something in our past that comes up later in our Christian life and trips us up. That's okay, because God can help us through that, right? He's got a plan and he has a purpose. John 16:24, until now you have asked nothing in my authority. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. These prayers, this mindset is going to be crucial during the tribulation period, when those Jewish believers are going to be chased down, hunted, persecuted, killed. This mindset for them, that's why he was trying to tell them these things. Because you're going to need me. You're going to need my help when that's happening. So that's why those prayers, they fit perfectly when you understand the distinctions in God's word. James 5:14-15. Is anyone among you sick? I can look out at this room and know that we know a lot of people that are sick, right? Maybe even some of us ourselves are sick. Is this what we're going to tell the rest of our brothers? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the authority of the Lord, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise them up. And if they have sinned, they will be forgiven. You know how horrible that would be to tell someone that? Right? And there are people that are telling people that, but that's because they're not praying with understanding. They don't understand. They don't understand what these prayers were meant for and who they're meant for. Because I guarantee there are people today that would be a horrible thing. That would wreck the faith of someone. If the assembly came and laid their hands on someone and prayed, and, oh, you're going to be okay, and then something happens. Right? That's the adversary trying to trip people up. Trying to get them to claim promises that don't belong to them, right? And then they blame God for what happened, you know? I know a lot of people that are angry at the Lord because of something someone told them, or an example that someone set for them, you know, some hypocrite. I pray that's not us. I know I'm guilty of that. I've been guilty of that in my lifetime. Oh, I'm going to listen to you. I remember you when I was saved, but immature. I'm not serious about my service. So we need to pray always, right? Ephesians 6, praying always, right? We need to be in constant conversation with our Savior because we have access to Him. Now that's a picture of Luke 18:1-7. I know we've all read this, we've all heard it. Then he spoke a parable unto them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Right? That's true for us too. Pray and don't lose heart. Saying, there was a certain city, a judge, he didn't fear God, and he didn't regard men's persons. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I don't fear God or regard men, yet because this widow troubles me, right? She was probably at that court every day, yelling the same thing. So, because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, she wearies me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. You hear what that guy just said? So he's telling his disciples, shall not God avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bear long with them? Now we need to have some understanding with this parable here, okay? Because what is this woman praying for? Revenge. He's praying a vengeance on my enemies, right? These are the kind of things that those going through the tribulation period are going to be praying for, right? How long, O Lord, are you going to not avenge our blood, right? We read about that. There's a group in Revelation, right, under the altar. But we need to have some understanding here. Is this what we're supposed to be doing, is praying for those that are giving us problems, praying this prayer, God, judge this person. Get rid of this person. Before you answer, let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. Right? And to you who are troubled, he's talking to members of the body of Christ in Thessalonica, he's talking to us. To you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be admired, and when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. There's a day coming, folks, where God is going to unleash his wrath on those that are giving us problems. So why would we pray for something that's already going to happen, right? We're not supposed to be praying for judgment for those people. We're supposed to be praying for opportunities to share the truth with those people, right? Because we were those people before we got saved. That was us. So with that understanding, he says, it's okay if you're troubled. This is the Lord Jesus Christ revealing something to us from glory through the Apostle Paul. To you who are troubled, rest with us, right? Because one of these days, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be revealed from heaven. And it's not going to be pretty for those that are left here. So you see the difference between that parable in Luke about the unjust judge and how this woman's praying for vengeance upon my adversaries. That's what they're going to be praying, because he is going to come back in vengeance, right? But today, we're not supposed to be doing that. We're supposed to be praying for those people that are troubling us. Those leaders maybe in the government that we don't like too much, right? We ought not be praying that God judges them, because that's coming one of these days for everybody. We don't need to be praying that maybe there's an opportunity. Maybe the Lord will bring one of us around them, right? Or someone that knows the truth, that has some understanding. That's what we need to pray for. Lord, bring someone that has understanding around that person, because somebody prayed that prayer for us. Right? And God answered that prayer, and he brought someone into our lives that was able to share some truth with us, right? That's how God's working today, through us, through his body, right? So we can't, you ever get the advertisements in your junk mail, we call it the junk mail, and then on the back of the thing, there's always a picture of maybe a lost child or something, right? So I pray before I throw it in the garbage. I look at that picture and I just ask the Lord, you know where they are. You know whether they're still here. You know where they are. Bring someone around. If they don't know you, bring someone around them that knows you. It takes 2 seconds, right? And then of course it's junk mail, so I throw it in the garbage. What if that person, what if someone else is doing that and you walk by that person at the grocery store, right? Maybe you're that person. Maybe I'm that person. Someone else might be praying that. Maybe they don't look the same as there. But somebody's praying for everybody. Whether it's at Walmart, at the grocery store, at the gas station, everywhere we go, everywhere we work. Somebody's praying for that person that you might be that one that the Lord says, all right, I'm going to answer that prayer by bringing this person around them. But if we don't open our mouths, that's a missed opportunity, right? We miss a lot of opportunities. I'm not saying we got to be 100%, but these are things you should have on our minds. We're here for a plan and a purpose, and it's not to be happy, right? Happiness is something that the world chases, and happiness has to do with circumstance, right? We're here for a plan and a purpose, and that's to share with other people that same truth that saved us, right? Someone took the time to share with us. We ought to take the time to share with other people. Something we need to be praying about, right? We need to be taking advantage of the access that we have Lord, help me, give me an open door. You know, when you're talking, Lord, help me open a conversation with this person. 2 Thessalonians 1:11 and 12. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is praying that you, that God would count you worthy of this calling. What calling is that? He wants to count you worthy of this calling. That calling for your own personal studies, to be called worthy is to suffer in your service for our Savior. Right? He's praying that God would count you worthy, me worthy. Because some people maybe aren't worthy to be in a certain position, right? Let's look at our job positions, right? Sometimes you're not worthy to be in that position, right? I don't know how this guy got in this job. He's lazy. He's whatever. Paul says, no, I want God to count you worthy to do what? For him to put you in the front lines and to be able to do some suffering for his sake, right? Some people crack under suffering, right? Some people are not found worthy yet. That doesn't mean you're down and out. That just means the Lord has to bring you over here and work with you a little more. So then he can count you worthy to do what? To stand up and go through some trials and tribulations so that you can glorify him, right? So if we're going through problems, it's because God thinks we're worthy of the calling of being able to do it, right? And still give him honor and glory. That's what that calling is right there. So that's something you could study on your own. We want to be worthy to be counted to suffer for his name's sake, right? In the military, there are some that are worthy to be Navy SEALs, and there's some that aren't, right? God's looking for Navy SEALs. That's what he's doing. He's looking for an elite group of men, women, and children that are worthy to be put in them front lines. And today, the front lines are everywhere, folks. You got grandkids, you got schools, there's all kinds of areas that God needs worthy saints that would be willing to stand in and suffer for his authority's sake and for his truth's sake. Romans 12:12. Be joyful in hope, patient in your afflictions, right? Patient, be patient, because rest with us. God's obviously trying to do something with me. He's counted me worthy to be put in this affliction. I want to stay worthy. I know he's got a plan. I know I can trust him. And be faithful in prayer. Be faithful in taking advantage of the access that God has given us. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 and 18. Pray continually, right? Don't stop. Give thanks in all circumstances. No matter what we're going through, we can give thanks. Thank you, Lord, for counting me worthy to go through cancer or a car accident or back surgery. You know, thank you, Lord, for counting me worthy. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is God's will. That we won't crack under pressure. That will be good testimonies, no matter what's going on. That's why we're a body of believers. So don't think you're going through something alone. Call somebody. Pray with me, man. Pray with me. I exhort, therefore, 1 Timothy 2:1-2, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Right? That's why we pray for our political leaders. That's why we pray for our country. That's why we pray for the leaders that are in charge of maybe local assemblies, right? We pray for them. Don't be anxious, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Don't be anxious about things, right? Rest. We've entered into a rest that everyone in the Old Testament was looking for, right? We've entered into his rest. Don't be anxious, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, thank you, Lord, for giving me the access to be able to present this petition or request for either me or someone else. Present our request to God, and the peace of God, right? The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I'm gonna bring this to the throne. I thank you, Lord, for the access that you've given me. With confidence, I'm going to bring this petition, and I'm going to leave it at your feet. And I know that your peace, right? That's what I come away with from the throne. I leave it, and I come away with the peace, knowing, all right, it's there. He knows what's going on. If I got to bring it up again tomorrow, that's fine. I got to bring it up the next day. I got to let more people know, right? The more people you let know, the more they're able to bring that petition before the throne. Guess who else gets that peace? They do, right? So whatever God is bringing you through, you'll be able to be a blessing to other people by, hey, would you mind using your access to the throne of grace to bring this petition before our Savior? And that'll give you peace also. So you, whatever you're going through, you can be a blessing to others, right? Romans 10, 1 through 3, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them. Now these are some of Paul's prayers, right? To Israel, for them is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but it's not according to knowledge, right? It's not according to that understanding. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. So here's Paul thinking about his brethren, his kinsmen. He said, my prayer to God is for them is that they would get this understanding and knowledge and that they would be saved. Not only soul saved, but delivered from the tribulation period. That's why Paul was so thankful. He understood what God was doing. He saved me from my mother's womb, right? He got me out of that path that I was on. The whole world was on the road to revelation. Paul understood. Philippians 1, 4, and 5. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. From the first day until now. Are we being thankful for our brothers and sisters who are our partners in the defense and proclamation of the gospel? We should. 1 Thessalonians 3:12, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. We can always pray for more and more, that we would be more and more conformed to his image, that we would abound more and more. This is an assembly here that there's no doubt. This assembly loves one another and they take care of one another. But God says, you know what, I pray that you do it more and more. Philippians 1, 9 through 10, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere, right? Not hypocrites, be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Colossians 1, 8 through 10, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard about it, we don't cease to pray for you, to desire that you might be filled with all the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And that you might walk worthy, right? Walk worthy. Be worthy of that calling. Walk worthy of the Lord unto all, pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in your knowledge of God, increasing in your understanding, increasing in your relationship, right? Colossians 4, 2, continue. Now continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Watch for what? Watch for what the Lord's going to do, right? That's what you watch for. You pray and then you watch because God's always doing something. And when you got open eyes, it's awesome when you start seeing him moving and working. It's amazing. Colossians 4, 3 through 6. With all praying for us also, Paul says, hey, pray for me also that God would open, what, a door so that we might speak the mystery of Christ, to which I am in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak, walking in wisdom toward those that are unsaved and outside of this truth, redeeming the time, and let our speech be always with grace, seasoned with a little salt, that we may know how to answer every man, right? 2 Thessalonians 3, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord might have free course, right? That it would be unhindered, and be glorified, even as it is with you, with others, right? That we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Ephesians 1:17-19. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Ephesians 3:16-19. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, right? That Spirit that makes intercession for us, that helps us, that delivers those prayers. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, rooted and grounded, unmovable, right? You may be able to comprehend with all the saints what really is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. There are many believers out there, they only have just a little bit of understanding of what really is the length and depth and height and breadth of the love of God, and some of them put us to shame, right? They just know a little bit, and they're doing great things for the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a better scope and a better understanding, right, of all these other things. We should be doing those things also. So I wore this shirt today. So the devil saw me with my head down and he thought he'd won, right? Until I said amen. And I like that. So I don't kneel in prayer out of weakness, right? I kneel because it's easier to drop to prone and return fire. That's a warrior's thing right there. So speaking of kneeling, what about kneeling? Acts 20:36-38. I don't see no problem with kneeling sometimes in prayer. When he had finished speaking, he knelt and prayed with them, and they all cried, and they embraced and kissed him goodbye. They were sad most of all because he had said that they would never see him again, and then they escorted him down to the ship. It's not a requirement, kneeling in prayer, but I don't think there's anything wrong with it, because if it was okay for our Apostle Paul to do it and our Lord Jesus Christ to do it, sometimes it's okay. Sometimes it's okay to even be prostrate. You know what that means? That means just flat on your face, like David. Just lay there. Sometimes what else can you do? You just lay there at the mercy of God and cry and shed those tears. Acts 21:5-6, when we returned to the ship at the end of the wreck, the entire congregation, including women and children, left the city. They came down to the shore with us, and there we knelt, and we prayed, and we said our farewells. And the agony in the garden, right? Matthew 26:39-42. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Again, the second time he prayed, saying, oh, Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done, right? Let your will be done. Hopefully that's what we're doing. Let his will be done. And then verse 19, you can pray for me as I pray for you, that utterance may be given unto me, that I, myself, and we collectively might open our mouths boldly, right, to make known what is the mystery of the gospel. That should be a prayer for each one of us, because we can always share and do more and more. So I just pray that each one of you, that God will give you boldness, right? And we should have boldness. Why? Because we have boldness and access to him by what? His faithfulness. So we can be bold in the faithfulness of our wonderful Savior to give us that same boldness, to be able to willing to share, to step up, maybe do some suffering for our Savior's sake. And we'll leave it at that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful truths and the wonderful access that we have at any moment, at any time, to the throne of your grace, knowing that we can have confidence that you know exactly what we need, what we're trying to pray for, you know exactly what we're going through. Help us to have that peace when we leave things at the throne. We have that peace that you are faithful, Lord. We might not always see or understand why we're going through certain things or why others that we love are going through certain things. But it's never not for the benefit of everyone involved. And it's for your honor and glory's sake, always. So just give us that boldness and confidence, because that comes not from ourselves, but it comes from our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we just are so thankful for everything that you've done for us on Calvary's cross. Amen. Amen. And then as a little side note, I didn't know if you knew this, but the offering box back there is also a offering for suggestions. So if there's something that you would like to know or learn about, a subject, anything Bible-related, please put it in there. If this is going to be kind of a rotation, I'd love to. There's no better way to teach someone than teaching them something they're interested in learning. So if you have any kind of subjects, anything you want, just remember that you can put your suggestion in there. You don't have to put your name on it. Yes?
I just want to say something about prayer. There are some great believers that believe that we should not pray for sickness, because in our dispensation, there's no more healing. Mm. But also, there's also a verse that says that in everything, we have to pray as a whole.
Oh, yeah, those people are wrong.
Exactly. And we're in this dispensation of grace. And in every dispensation, God has showed grace in every dispensation in the Bible.
Yep.
So, in fact, one of the believers confronted us that we should have been praying for sick people. And I remember my cousin, she was in intensive care. She had a tumor. It's wrapped around the aorta.
Right.
The doctor could not operate her. She was in intensive care for like about 10, 15 days. She's such her Christian life, I could not even say anything. She would get up right in the morning, before she goes to bed, she prays. She has such a strong faith in Christ.
Yep.
And church was praying for her. Everybody was praying for her. And after 15 days in intensive care, he did another test, and the tumor was gone.
Yep.
The tumor was gone. So I would not like completely say that God doesn't answer prayer in sickness as a symbol of the believers.
Oh.
I
know.
We should pray for the sick.
And that's sad.
It is sad.
That is sad, because you know what? They count out God's mercy. God says, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion upon whom I will have compassion. So they count out God's mercy. My daughter, right? God had mercy on her and her husband, and he's continuing to have mercy, right? He doesn't have to. Just because he doesn't give individuals today that supernatural gift of healing, that doesn't mean he doesn't heal. Because he can do all things, and don't ever count out his mercy. And that's what everyone seems to be forgetting, even, and I know the believers that you're talking about, and they're wrong. And they're wrong. Yeah.
I'm a victim of prayer.
Yeah. Yeah. So is Paul Bowback.
So is Sue Crawford.
There's a lot of, that's why I said this assembly above all others. We know the power of prayer, right? And I feel sad for those people that are telling people not to pray. Well, then that's fine. I guess we won't pray for them when they get sick. But we do pray for them, because our God can do all things. Just because it's not part of the norm, that doesn't mean we count him out. We don't put him in a box. He can do all things. He can do all things. But we're not gonna tell him that we're gonna anoint you with oil and everything's gonna be okay. Right? We don't know why this happened, but we're gonna trust the Lord no matter what. Amen.